Have you heard that Ramada Inn commercial? It's your thing, do what you want to do. You know what I'm talking about? It's sort of stuck in my head. It's your thing, do what you want to do. The point is for Ramada Inns that if you stay there, you'll be well refreshed to do your own thing, whether it's scuba diving or riding a motorcycle or going to an amusement park or just hanging out the beach. It's your thing, do what you want to do. Sort of a catchy way to have you stay at their hotels, because the next day you get to do what? That's from the Isley Brothers. It's your thing, do what you want to do. That's sort of a song of American society, because in American society, no one's going to tell me what. No one's going to tell me what to do. You're not going to tell me what to do. Pastor's not going to tell me what to do. Police aren't going to tell me what to do. The principal's not going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. I'm an American. I do my own thing. That's sort of a theme. I did it my way. Who sung that? Frank Sinatra. I did it my way. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. No one's going to tell me what to do. I didn't like that you told me that I needed to do that. No one tells me what to do. I do my own thing. I'm my own. Or I'm my own what? Boss. I'm the captain of my what? And if I want your opinion, I'll give it to you. It's American society. No one's going to tell me what to do. It's your thing. Do what you want to do. And that attitude is prevalent just about everywhere. I do what I want to do. If you don't like it, go take a long walk off a short pier. I do my own thing. I do it my way. Desmond Doss, a World War II Army private, and he faces a conundrum. He's in a difficult position. Why? Well, he's a conscientious objector. He refuses to pick up a gun. His goal is that when life is being taken, he wants to go and save lives. So he gets in trouble from his drill sergeant and his captain and the major, and ultimately he's brought up against charges to be court-martialed, maybe tossed out of the military dishonorably. I refuse to pick up a gun during World War II. That's not my thing, and people accuse him of being a coward. The Japanese pick up their guns. Why don't you? Well, he's a conscientious objector, and finally, United States Congress ruled that if a person wants to be a conscientious objector, they may, in the United States Armed Forces, they may save lives. And that's what Desmond Doss wanted to do. He refused to submit to rules of picking up a gun. In doing so, he's a conscientious objector, and he got thrown in with the Army for the Battle of Iwo Jima. Now, if you're not familiar with the movie is called Hacksaw What? Ridge. And it's sort of a gory movie, but accurate, difficult movie to watch. And there, in refusing to submit to pick up a weapon, but at the same time to save lives, he is caught in the midst of the Battle of Iwo Jima, and when the sun goes down, he saves dozens of lives. You see, they're up on a 1,000-foot ridge, and they have to climb up to attack. And there at night, he goes and saves many wounded Americans and even a few wounded Japanese. He devises a method, and he lets them down a 1,000-foot cliff, and there American medics pick up the injured. He kept on saying, just one more. He brings one down, he goes out and gets another injured American soldier, carries him to the edge, devises a system and lowers him down, just one more. He refused to submit to carrying a weapon. At the same time, he submitted his own life in the danger of battle that he might save other Americans' lives. And what he found out was that his staff sergeant and drill sergeant, his commanders, came to respect him for all the lives that he saved. And before the next battle began, they all waited for him. After he got done praying, the general said, what's the holdup with you guys attacking? He goes, we're waiting for Desmond Doss to finish praying. You're doing what? In submitting to others, others began to what? Submit to him. We're all familiar with the story of Abraham and Isaac, correct? Abraham's 100 and Sarah's 90, and they still have a son, their one and only son, Isaac. And God told Abraham, Abraham, go take your son to the top of Mount Moriah, and there I want you to sacrifice him. And so Abraham didn't ask any questions, said, God, this is rather odd. He's my only son. I love him too much. And Abraham, in faith, took a bundle of wood, took his servants, and took a donkey, and took his son up to the top of the mountain. His son said, Dad, what's going to happen? He listened to God, and God stopped him, and there in the thicket was a ram for him to sacrifice. Then God said, Abraham, I know that you will fear me and no one else but me alone. You see, Abraham submitted to who? To God. And God said, your faith has proved trustworthy. Now I know that you know that I am the only God. See, to submit, to hear the word submit, goes against every grain in our modern culture. No one's going to tell me what to do. I don't submit to anyone. I'm my own boss. I'm my own captain. And that includes you, the pastor. That includes the church. That includes the government. That includes everybody else. I do my thing, and you got to understand it. Submit is very foreign to us, our modern American society. But Ephesians 5:21, can you read that with me? Submit to everyone out of love for Christ. Yeah, okay. So Paul says, we're called to submit to who? Everyone out of love for Christ. Different translations say, submit to everyone out of reverence for Christ. In a world that says, I do my own thing, Jesus says, I want you to submit to everyone out of love for Christ. You see, this is much more than just those verses that tell wives to submit to their husbands. See, in reality, we're called to submit to one another out of love for Christ. So what does it mean to submit? Well, submit means to what? Be subordinate. You say it, and I what? Do it. You ask me to jump, and I say how high on the way up. That's what it means to submit, to be subordinate to somebody else. To submit means to see yourself what? Lower than others. That's really hard for us because we're all taught to be number one. I'm not going to see myself like that. No one's better than me. I do my own thing. To submit means to view myself as less what? Important, because every day we watch TV and we hear commercials where we're the most important thing. One would think that the reason the earth revolves around the sun is to keep us happy. That's hard to submit. And finally, the problem is the what? The heart. Now there's a mirror there in the Harry Potter lore. It's called the Ezered mirror. In the Ezered mirror, anyone who looks in it, they get to see the desire of their heart. So in the Harry Potter movie, one of the characters looks into the Ezered mirror, and they see themselves holding a trophy as if they're the most important. See, Ezered is desired spelled backwards. See, in the Harry Potter movie, the mirror shows the desire of my heart. Submitting isn't part of that. Being number one is. The only person who can truly submit is a person whose life has been touched by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. From Christ our life, from being in Christ, that's the only person who can submit. A person whose life is not in Christ can never submit. They do not have that power or that strength. They don't have that ability. Their heart hasn't been changed yet. But Christ did submit himself. Can you read this with me? Being found in an appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Jesus did humble himself. Jesus left the glories of heaven and submitted himself to become a person to live with us in our messed up world. Jesus left the glories of heaven and came down here to be in our disease-filled world. Jesus left the glories of heaven as God to come down and be with us in midst of our violence and turmoil. Jesus left the glories of heaven that he may come down here and deal with politics in both the church and the state. Jesus left the glories of heaven to come and to be with us many times we don't even get along with each other. He submitted himself and came to minister to us, the diseased, the brokenhearted, the troubled. And he eventually went where? To the cross. That's what he did for us. For the person who believes that and receives that, it's easy to submit. How can I not submit after Christ submitted for me? He brought us salvation. He changes our heart. He says this, be an example. Your attitude should be that the same as who? Christ Jesus. Submit to each other because I did it for you to submit. There's a better way to view submit. Can you read that with me? Submit equals considerate love. See, I'm not asking anyone to become a slave or a doormat. We submit to one another, we're simply giving each other considerate love. Give considerate love to one another. Considerate love is Christ's love in action. Read 1 Corinthians 13. Read those verses with me. Love is patient. It is kind. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It keeps no records of wrong. And rejoices in truth. Those are verses of submit considerate love. Can you put Jesus where love is? Jesus is patient. Jesus is kind. Jesus is not rude. Jesus is not self-seeking. Jesus keeps no records of the wrong. And Jesus rejoices in the truth. What happens if I put my name there? Pastor Muse is patient. Pastor Muse is kind. Pastor Muse, that doesn't work out. How about if I put your name there? Would you like that? Go ahead, put your name up there. How'd that work out? But Jesus is that stuff for us, that we might be submissive to one another in reverence for Christ, be submissive. So what does submit look like? What does it look like to show considerate love to others? What does it look like? Well, St. Paul sort of shares with us. First of all, wisdom. Can you read these with me? Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You see, in considerate love, a person's able to receive wisdom. Have you ever met someone who knew it all? Or who thought they knew it all? You ever met someone like that? Can you tell someone who knows it all anything? Why not? Or you know it all. Now, no offense, somebody once says you can always tell a Lutheran, you just can't tell them much. I know, mind, okay? Sorry. But a wise person in considerate love can learn. An arrogant person can never learn. Matter of fact, if you listen to the Old Testament reading, if you correct an arrogant person, they'll get mad. Matter of fact, the Old Testament says this: if you correct an arrogant person, you may suffer injury. Have you ever shared the truth with someone and they got really mad at you and called you names? It's happened to me. Have you ever corrected someone who's very arrogant? And they'll do you injury and harm. But a wise person, even though it hurts, will still say what? Thank you. See, considerate love means I'm willing to learn from others. NASA had a major problem with one of its space shuttles, and they asked the American public to help solve it. And so all the PhDs and wise people submitted hundreds and hundreds of pieces of advice what NASA should do. Do you know where the answer came from? A little 10-year-old boy. Well, he's able to simply look at it and say, you need to do this. NASA listened. Once again, considerate love is I'm humble enough and willing to learn. What else does considerate love do? Considerate love exposes what? Darkness. You see someone whose life is bad? Maybe correct them. Do you love me enough to tell me I'm wrong? Do I love you enough to tell you that you're wrong? Following college, I didn't write so well. And so there's a person in my church who had a PhD. He was a professor. He read one of my reports and he met with me and said, your writing isn't too good. And he said, this is what you need to do. Well, thanks to him, I have two masters. I'm not bragging. It belongs to him. Considerate love exposes darkness. Considerate love says, you know what you're doing right now isn't really well. In my previous church, an elder told me about an encounter that his brother had. His brother was driving down the road, and there was a person in front of him swerving all over the place. Go across the bridge, almost hit one side of the bridge, almost hit the other side of the bridge. Went off the road, almost into the cornfield, came back up on the road. Went through a stop sign, went through a red light, and the person kept on following them for about 10 minutes. And finally, the person who was swerving all over the place and very dangerous came into a restaurant, and he said, my brother pulled in behind him, got out of the car and said, are you okay? Yeah. Well, what's wrong with you? You almost got killed a couple times. Well, I was just texting my friend. You see, his brother is willing to call the person out who was texting so their life might not what? End. Considerate love exposes what? Darkness. That was very considerate that person to do. Even though it offended the person, I'd rather have him be offended than be dead the next week. Considerate love exposes darkness. And considerate love is be thoughtful and helpful for the interests of others. If you're in the grocery store and you have a cart full of stuff and there's a little lady behind you who has four items, what's the best thing to do? Let them go in front of you. If you're going to a restaurant, there's a family with little kids that are 10 feet behind you, what's the best thing to do? Open the door and let them what? Go first. Do you ever leave like a 4th of July celebration, a ball game, and all this traffic coming? My rule is always let two cars go in front of me. Don't you hate that? Like when you're going down the interstate or a highway, and all the traffic, they tell you to get to one lane, and people in the other lane doing what? Going past you to get to the front of the line? I hate that. Don't like that. But yet, be what? Considerate. Submit to one another. Considerate love for one another. What does this person need? How can I be considerate to them? And finally, stay alert. Be very careful how you live, not as unwise but wise, making the most of every opportunity for the days are evil. My previous church was a very active family. They came to our church because they needed to talk to the youth minister about something. I wasn't the youth minister. But simply because of the loving kindness from the youth minister, that family joined and became very active. Never know the little things you do, how much that echoes into the future. Every day is an opportunity, chance to do good for all of us. So once again, let's go through the four, right? What does considerate love look like? What does it mean to submit? We'll learn in wisdom. What does it look like? It exposes darkness. What does it look like? It's considerate of others. What does it look like? Be alert. Every moment counts. For friends in Christ, let's submit to each other out of love for Christ, looking at Christ, our life, our source, our hope, our help. Read that with me. Greater love has no one than to lay down his life for his friend. And how about this for a closing thought? Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is what? Love. And all God's people say,